Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Very good. Good morning, everyone. And for our friends joining us online, welcome. If it has not been said, we continue our series called Paradoxology. Pastor Peter asked, why is God so far with the story of Moses? Is God really good in the story of Joshua? And today we are at Habakkuk. And before we turn there, I'm going to need two volunteers. Can I get two brave souls to reenact for me a family scene? And I promise that I will give you a reward. Am I going to call on somebody? I saw a brave hand. Was that? Yes, come on up. Come stand right by this mic. Don't worry. I don't bite. Nobody willing? You know what happens to people that volunteer? Yeah, all right, bye. Brian, come on up. Come stand over here. Oh, all right. Brian, pick one right here. You're very nice. Awesome. Welcome. Give it up for them, you guys. All right, I'm going to give them wipes so you can wipe the mics. If you so please. Very good. All right. So here's the scene. I will be playing dad, all right? And we have our older sibling,
Becky.
Becky. Go, Becky. And we have the younger sibling, Mr. Brian. All right, here's the scene, all right? Dad says, before you guys go to beach day, do your chores. Do your chores before you go to beach day. Are we ready? All right, Becky, you're the older one, and you're going to say, I'm not going to vacuum the downstairs. I'm going to put on sunblock and leave.
Do I say that?
You say it.
I'm not going to vacuum the downstairs. I'm putting on sunblock, and I'm leaving.
Brian, you're doing your chores. What's your favorite chore?
Gardening.
Gardening. So you're gardening. Garden away.
Okay.
Very good. All right. And then you're saying, hey, Dad, Becky's not doing her chores.
Hey, Dad, Becky's not doing her chores.
All right. What does God do? Or what does Dad do? Dad's, listening to some tunes. He's not doing anything. And then Brian says, this is unfair.
This is unfair.
Can you show us what is, this is unfair.
This is unfair.
Very good. And then Becky is looking for her keys. Yes, she finds it, and she says, Dad, I need gas money.
Gas money, please, Dad.
Ooh, thank you for the please. Dad responds this time and says, you know what? I was going to give that 20 to Brian because I owe him from yesterday. But yeah, take the 20, and you can go.
Later.
What? Give him a hand. Do not leave. All right. I told you guys there's a reward. These are masks for you guys.
Thank you.
All right, ladies, first pick, which one? Gray or black?
Gray.
Gray. Very good, Mr. Brian.
Why, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Give them a hand.
That's not fair.
That's not fair. You guys are one of four people in the world that have masks with my face on them. All right. So they're going to be like, who's that on your mask? All right. So we ponder the question, why does God allow injustice in the world? So if you have your Bibles or your devices, would you please turn to Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Like Jim said, it's five books from Matthew if you turn left. How you get to Matthew? You break open your Bible in half. You get to Psalms, Isaiah. You break the second half in half. And you'll get to Matthew, and then turn left. You'll get to the small book of Habakkuk. It So the minor prophets. That doesn't mean that they're less valuable than the other prophets. That doesn't mean that they're small. That just means they're shorter books compared to Isaiah, Jeremiah. All right, and while you guys turn there, while you're turning there in your devices, let me tell you my hope for today. My hope today is that you would have and find, you would find hope in God today. Right? That God would meet you wherever you're at, right now, in whatever season you're in, and that God would give you a hope and a future. All right? Habakkuk struggled to see the goodness of God around him because there's so much hardship. Can we relate to that? Habakkuk had a scope. He had a perspective that was right here in the immediate. All right? And he's asking God, God, could you just peel back the curtain? Could you just take me back? What are you doing? Who's asked that before? God, just let me take a peek. What's happening behind the curtain? Right? And Habakkuk sees it, and he says, God says, I'm going to end injustice. I'm going to end all the suffering you're going through. I'm going to end violence by making your people suffer more, not less. What? God peels the curtains and shows Habakkuk what's going to happen. Just like that younger sibling, right? Brian says, this is unfair. God, I said, Dad, they're not doing their job. And then you give them gas money? So my hope is that we would turn our attention to God today, wherever you're at, whatever circumstances that you're going through. All right, could you guys stand one more time while I read this passage, and then we're going to pray and give this time to the Lord. Habakkuk 1, verse 2 to 4. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? I cry out to you, violence, this is not fair, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife, conflict abounds. There is the law that is paralyzed, the justice that never prevails. The wicked surround us. They hem the righteous so that justice is perverted. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for meeting us here. God, we worship you. God, we thank you so much for that song. Lord, the God of revival, that you're giving us hope again. You've already won. Death is overcome. Holy Spirit, would you whisper to us the deep needs of our heart? God, would you speak your truth today? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So 3 points today, all right? 3 points. One is, God can handle us. Can you say that? God can handle us. God can handle our complaints. Second point is, God's got us. God's got us. God's got everything under control. And the third thing is, God's done it, ... again. God's done it again. All right. You guys are awake. Thank you, coffee, and thank you, Lord, for this awesome weather. All right, so how we get to those 3 points is by looking at the characters of who's involved in the book. We're going to look at the book, kind of just like an overview of the whole thing, and then we're going to look at Jesus. We're going to go character, book, Jesus, and then we're going to get to those 3 points. All right, are you guys ready? First, Habakkuk. Who is Habakkuk? Right, Habakkuk was a prophet of God. We know little about him. We don't know who his parents were. We don't know where he's from. We know what his name means. His name means to embrace like you're wrestling with God. All right, can we relate to him? What we know about him is this little book, that he wrestled with God with the same question that we're reflecting on today. Why do you allow injustice to take place? In children's ministry, we give Old Testament people nicknames. What should we call them? Hab? Right, we have Rebecca, who goes by Becky, like Habakkuk. We can call him Backy. All right, or we can call him Cookie. Habakkuk. All right. And there is Habakkuk, and then there's God. So God reveals himself in the Old Testament, right, in the New Testament as well. And we can get a grasp of God's personality, his temperament, his nature, by the way that he deals with his people, and by the way that he deals with us. If you have a personal relationship with God, you know what I'm talking about. But if you're in the Old Testament times, you would turn to Exodus 34. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. This is the character creed of God. And Peter read it. So whenever in the Old Testament you have to remind yourself who God is, this is who God is. Before he reveals the Ten Commandments again to Moses, because remember, he broke it when he was coming down. He broke it because he's like, they're sinning. So if this is the contract, I'm ripping up this contract before you punish them. And God says, I got to write it again. So before God writes it, he says, let me tell you who I am. Verse 6, and God passed in front of Moses, proclaim, the Lord, he is the compassionate and gracious God. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love and faithfulness. He maintains love to thousands. He forgives wickedness. He forgives rebellion. He forgives sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. So in the Old Testament, when you're thinking about who God is, you think about this character creed. The reason why it's creed, because we think that maybe they put it to song. You know how we remember songs? Maybe they put it to song so that they'd remember God. They did in the Psalms. All right? So God is both love and just. God is a good parent that both loves you but also puts you in timeout sometimes. Okay? Yet he's compassionate and gracious. So there's Habakkuk, God. Where are the people of God? The people of God have been separated into two kingdoms. There's the northern kingdom and southern kingdom. All right? Both of them have kings. And here's the pattern. If you have a good king, that good king worships God. If that king worships God, the people worship God. And the land and the people prosper. Yay! But the opposite is true. If you have an evil king, they worship God, and they have idols. What happens if the king does it? The people do it too. They worship God and idols. And what happens to the people? The people and the land suffer. So in Habakkuk's time, they had this king, King Manasseh. All right, King Manasseh, yes, was he a good king or an evil king? He was an evil king, right? Because Habakkuk was complaining. He was an evil king. He worshiped God, but he also erected all of these idols. And he worshiped God, and he worshiped also those idols. It says that he worshiped those idols to the point that he sacrificed his own kids. Do you think God was pleased? No. If the king did it, what happened to the people? The people did the same thing. Do you think the country, the nation of Judah, do you think they had a great time? No. The land and the people suffered. That's why Habakkuk is at this point. All right? But was Habakkuk evil like the king? Was Habakkuk like the people like the king? No. Habakkuk was walking with the Lord. All right? But still, you know what Habakkuk's job is? He's a temple prophet. What do prophets do? They listen for what God says, they write it on tablets, and then they read it to people. They are the mouthpiece of God to the people. What does Habakkuk do in this little book? Instead of being the mouthpiece of God, he mouths off to God. His first thing, he complains. And he says, personally, right? See if you can relate to this. He's personally suffering. God, I call out to you. You don't listen. You don't pick up. I call out violence. It's not fair. And do you save us? No. Not only is he personally suffering, he's grieving the evil in the world around him. He says, you make me look at injustice. Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife. Conflict abounds. There is no law. It is paralyzed. There is no justice that prevails. The wicked, they hem us. Do we have any people that hem? Right? They surround us. They're that close to us. They're not socially distant. They are here. All right, so that's where the people of God were. So what is it? Can you guys relate to Habakkuk, by the way? Maybe? All right, so maybe you're personally suffering. Maybe you're grieving the fact that our whole world is crazy. You know what I grieve lately? I didn't tell this to First Service. So you guys are special. I grieve that the body of Christ is not unified. I fear that we are putting other things before God and the unity that we have in Christ, and that we can't see things eye to eye. We don't have to agree. We can disagree, but we can be united, yeah? We can have diversity, but still love each other. But we're like in this mess. And I just pray that we have unity somehow. God's doing it, right? So to our first point, God can handle it. Can you guys say that? God can handle it. All right, so God can handle our complaints. Habakkuk, his first thing he does is he complains to God. He's listening to God. He's probably writing on his like tablet or he's chiseling it. And he's like, wait, God. I've been calling out to you. I have an issue, right? What happens to us? Oftentimes, I turn to my buddies. I turn to my friends. I turn to the people on my side, and I throw myself pity parties. Look at me. I'm the victim. And you know what? Nothing in my situation changes. My heart doesn't change. And at that point, maybe like a week later or 2 weeks later, when I'm tired, I turn to God. I turn to God in prayer. God, nothing's changed in my situation. Nothing has changed in my heart. What if God is saying, I don't want the spoils of your complaints. I want to be first to your complaints. Isn't that a good parent? God is saying, I don't want you to turn to all of these people and then turn to me. He says, I want you to turn to me first. I'm not saying that church community is bad. All right, church community is holding us, carrying each other's burdens. But what if we turn to God first? Or if you have a friend who just vents to you all the time, you're like, you know what, can we pray right now? Can we just pray right now? What if God wants the first dibs to your complaints? That's what Habakkuk did. I heard intimacy defined as listening without judgment. Do you have friends that you can just let down your hair, no guard, just let your mouth go, let your, this is me. This is me. God wants to be that for you. God wants an intimate relationship with you. Go to him. How's your prayer life? How's that prayer reflex, right? When something bad happens, your reflex is to pray. That's what Pastor Dean was saying, too, is we can turn to him. He's a good father. That's point number one. Number two, let's look at the book. Can you guys put on your, like, eagle wings? We're going to fly through this book, the three chapters, and I'm scared of roller coasters, but it's like, you know, it's like a minute long. So we're just going to power through this. And the form of the book goes like this. Habakkuk says something, God says something. Habakkuk says something, God says something. Habakkuk stays silent, God says something. All right? Did you guys catch the difference? Here we go. So Habakkuk complains. He says, we're dying over here, God. We're dying. Can you just pull the curtain back? I just want to see what's happening behind the scenes. And God answers. He says, you know what's going to happen? I'm actually not going to save you from bully number one, because you're under bully number one right now. I'm sending bigger bully number two. They are more violent. They are more unjust. And Habakkuk has to wait 30 to 50 years, by the way. Okay? So Habakkuk pleads. He complains. Now he's pleading. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop for a second. Aren't you the most holy God? You can't even tolerate evil, God. Why pick the biggest bully on the next town? You got to rethink this. I'm pleading with you. And God says, yes, you're right. The wicked, they are awful. You are right. But listen to this. The righteous person will live by their faithfulness. We'll come back to that. He says to Habakkuk, be faithful. You know what? Let me pull the curtain way back. Take a peek at the five things, the five woes I'm going to do to the Babylonians, to bully number two. These are the five things that I'm going to do. Right? So Habakkuk asked, can I just take a peek? And the Lord's showing him the whole thing. All right? After he sees it, he stays silent. And he says this, God is in his holy temple. What he's saying is, God, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your understanding is way better than mine. Let all be silent before him. You are the God of history. And Habakkuk sings a song. He sings a joyful song that is both celebratory but also bitter. It's like a hard pill to swallow. And God, what does God do? God shows him a vision of what he's done in the past. God shows him, hey, remember in the Pharaoh days, Moses and Pharaoh? The people of God, they were being saved. That was their perspective. From the perspective of Pharaoh and Egypt, who am I? I am the God of pestilence. I'm the God of the plagues. In the time of Joshua and the walls of Jericho, the people of God, they were being protected and provided for. But in the perspective of the Canaanites, who am I? I am the God pouring down his wrath. He says, you pick. What do you think, Habakkuk? Are you guys ready to turn? Turn to Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk 3:16. What has made Habakkuk complain, plead, be silent? And God keeps showing him, and this is what he says. Remember at the beginning, he says, God, you're not listening to me. I cry out. I cry out, and it says in 16, I heard. All right, like a tantruming kid. He says, God, you're not listening to me. At the end of it, the character development in this movie, Habakkuk says, I heard, and my heart pounds. His lips that say, this is unfair. This is violence. His lips quiver at the sound. He can't even mouth off anymore. Decay creeps into my bones and my legs tremble. His knees are knocking. Yet, nevertheless, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nations invading us. I am going to wait until you bring judgment onto bully number two. Do you guys know how long that is? He waits 30 to 50 years for bully number two to come. And God says, in 70 years of them being here, then I'm going to judge them. That's 120 years. We don't know if he lived that long, but we know this is what he's saying. And here's some good news if you guys are bummed out. Though, listen to the tension, though the fig tree does not bud and there is no grapes on the vine, even though there's famine, though the olive tree crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, there's famine and there's no food in the people of God. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, there's no more worship. There's no more things to sacrifice. Yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. And listen to this good news. This was one of our memory verses for children's ministry. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to tread on to the heights. God has given Habakkuk the luxury to peek behind the curtain. What he's going to do in the future, is it what he expected? Remember that the question at the top of the sermon? Who's asking that? Who's willing to look at what's happening behind the curtain? After that, you're like, man, I don't even know. So it brings us to our second point, which is God's got us. Can you tell yourself that? God's got us. God's got it. God's got it under control. You might be passed up for a promotion. Your work might be laying you off. Unemployment feels awesome, but you just feel dishonored. But God is the God of history. God is sovereign. Here's my favorite part. He knows what tomorrow will bring. He knows the future. And for my what if people, God knows all the possibilities of tomorrow. That's not even the cool part. He knows every outcome of every possibility. He's not just like a clockmaker that says, put stuff together, and he's like, I'm going to take a nap. He doesn't just wake up and go, wait, there's coronavirus? He didn't just wake up and say, wait, what happened to HB? What happened to Christ Pacific Church? He knew all along. He was working behind the scenes. God is the God of history. He knows every outcome. He has not abandoned you. So like Habakkuk, are we saying, God, you're not listening to me? Or is God saying, hey, you got to listen to me? What are you listening to? Are you reading your Bible? We've looked at the characters of the book. We've looked at the book. How was that roller coaster ride? Awesome. We're going to look at Jesus. All right, we got to end in Jesus. So we look at Habakkuk from the Old Testament perspective. Where does it sit in history? Yeah, how do we understand it from Moses? How do we understand it from Joshua? But are we there? No, we're on this side. We're on the Jesus side. Jesus came as a baby. Jesus lived on the earth. Jesus ministered and showed us the Father. And Jesus came and died on the cross. And they buried him. And is that the end of the story? No. He comes back to life. He pours the Spirit on us. And he says, peace, I'm going to come back. All right, so we're on that side of Jesus. How do we look at Habakkuk from the lens of Jesus? First thing is, where do we fit in the story? Are we the people of God that's about to get pounded for 120 years? Or waits for 50 years and gets pounded for 70? Actually, no, we're not. We're bully number two, or maybe bully number one. We were the enemy of God that was not within the plan, right? But here's the good news. You guys ready for the good news? You who were once far off are brought near in Ephesians 2:13. God is all about saving even the enemy. That's wild. Really? I don't know if Habakkuk saw that one. Jesus came for those who believe in him. What about Habakkuk? He complained. He mouthed off to God. Was Jesus kind of like that? Did Jesus mouth off to the Father? Did he complain? Can you guys turn to Mark 14? Mark 14, verses 32 to 36. Mark 14. Jesus, on his way to the cross, he says, he hangs out at this garden, and he calls out his disciples. I'm getting there. Mark 14, verses 32 to 36. They, Jesus and his disciples, went off to Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John, his besties, along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled, and he says to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. By the way, they fall asleep, yeah? Going a little farther, Jesus falls to the ground and prays, what if, God, is it possible that this hour might pass from him? And you know what Jesus says? Verses 36. He says, Abba, Daddy, Dad, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. God, I know the cup that you've poured to the nations. I know the cup of wrath, because you are a just God. You do not leave the guilty unpunished. And God was about to pour all of the wrath onto his son. In Romans later on, it says that all of the bad things in history and all the bad things in the future after Jesus, God didn't pour out his wrath on those. He was saving it. He was saving it for his son. Jesus, like Habakkuk, complains, but he says, not my will, but yours. Nevertheless, what you want, God, not mine. Do you guys want to see the connection? Here's the connection. Habakkuk 2:4. All right, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Actually, let's go back to 3. Right, when Habakkuk says to him, God, aren't you the holy God? All right, verse 3, he says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. Some of your translations will say it. Some translations will say he. Listen to this. He will certainly come and will not delay. Who's coming? Is bully number two coming? Is there bully number three coming? Is there a Messiah coming to punish bully number two? See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous, in your Bibles it say, the righteous person will live by faith, right? Habakkuk, be faithful. In some Bibles, it says, the righteous one will live by his faithfulness. The righteous one? Who's the righteous one? Turn to 1 John chapter 2. This is really cool. And then we're going to end in Romans. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. In children's ministry, we say 1 John, big number 2, small number 1. Ready? My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Listen to Jesus' name. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The righteous one will live by his faithfulness. Right? Faith and faithfulness are kind of the same thing. But sometimes we, an English speaker, we would say faith is just belief. Faithfulness is living it out. They're the same thing. Right? Whatever you believe, you live out. Jesus is the righteous one, and his faithfulness is insane. Habakkuk's faithfulness, maybe like this much, points to Jesus' the righteous one who is faithful to infinity. We serve a God who is just, but he doesn't look at you and say, all right, accounting time. You did 5 things good, like Santa, and you did about 1 million things wrong. Right? I hope you guys are not trying to make your good be more than the bad. Put your faith in Jesus, whose faithfulness is to infinity. Who is the righteous one? Still don't believe me? Turn to Romans. Here we go. Paul writes his magnum opus. He's like a grandpa, and he's like, I'm going to write to the church what the most important thing in my heart is. Romans 1, we're going to go to 1 to 4, and we're going to go to 16 and 17. He says this. You guys ready? Paul, hey, it's Paul, a servant. It's a letter, okay? Hey, Paul, it's Paul here, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the good news of God, the gospel that God promised beforehand through his prophets. Who have we been talking about? Backy? Cookie? All right, the prophets in the Holy Scripture regarding his son. The prophet was speaking about his son, the righteous one, who to his earthly life was a descendant of David and through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power. How? By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ, if he did not raise from the dead, we're still guilty of our sins. We would be following a lie, but we know that he came back to life, yeah? Ready? Why would the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, use a little dinky Habakkuk prophet? Check it out, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, from first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Jesus is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written. Now, he references, the righteous one will live by his faithfulness. Do you know Jesus? Are you still trying to make your good outweigh all the bad that you're doing? Point number 3 is this. He's done it, ... again. Can you say that with me? He's done it again. He's done it again. Right? So Jesus, in his anguish at the cross, he doubted, but he says, God can handle my complaints. Jesus, in his anguish at the garden, he's swelling bullets of blood. He says, God's got me. And now he's trying to tell us God has done it, and he's done it again. God saved his people from the Exodus. God has delivered his people during Joshua's time. Jesus has delivered us from darkness, from death to life. I don't know where you find yourself today, but you have to remind yourself what life was like before God. If you were born into the church and you were raised here, all you got to do is look at, man, what is happening in the world? I want to give you guys hope today. Preach the good news of Jesus to yourself. If you don't know Jesus, in Matthew 11, 28, it says, come to me, who you labor and are burdened and are weak. I want to give you rest. I want to give you rest for your souls. Have faith. Have faith that God can handle your complaints and your doubts. Have faith that God has got us. He's working behind the curtains, and he wants us to trust in him. He's got it under control. Have faith that he's done it before, and he will do it again. Can I read to you guys the end of Habakkuk again? He was about to still get punished, yeah? My daughter Nehemiah, before she goes into timeout, she has a sing-song, and she's like, hey, Dad, do you remember? You love me, and I love you. So before she walks into the consequence of her actions, she says, I just want to remind you, Dad, you love me, and I love you. Right? Habakkuk says the same thing. Hey, God, in your wrath, remember mercy. In your wrath, remember mercy. And at the end, he says, though the fig tree doesn't produce fruit, though there's no grapes in the vine, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no fruit, there's no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, because he is the sovereign Lord, and he is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. He says that, and there's 120 years of more suffering. We ponder the question today, why does God allow injustice? I don't know. There's another option besides faith. You guys know what it's called? It's called despair. Right? You can have faith in something, but who is that something? Do you have faith in Jesus? And Streams in the Desert, written by L.B. Cowman. It's you guys know Utmost for His Highest? This is kind of like for the suffering folk. Streams in the Desert. You guys want to think about that? Are there streams in the desert? Maybe little ones. And she says this, desperation is better than despair. Remember, our faith did not create our desperate days. Faith in Jesus' work is to sustain us through days and to solve them. Yet the only alternative to desperate faith is despair. Faith holds on and prevails. Faith that God can handle our complaints works and prevails. Faith that God's got us and got everything under control works and prevails. Faith in God that he has done it before and he's going to do it again works and prevails. There's a song, I don't know who sings it, that goes like this. I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know that at his right hand stands one who is my Savior. In the midst of your suffering, which I don't want to diminish, in the midst of injustice in the world that I don't want to just gloss over, it's hard. But I know Jesus, and I can put my trust and my faith in him, the righteous one who's more faithful than I, whose faith I can stand on. Let me read to you guys my life verse, Galatians 2:20. Hear the word of the Lord. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Here's my favorite part. The life I now live in the flesh, the life I now live in this body, the life I now live with all the suffering and all the grieving and all the stuff that I still have to go through, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The hope of the world is Jesus, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Where is your hope today? I didn't want to answer the question of why does God allow injustice, because our sermon title is simple answers don't work. I don't want to give you just another simple answer. I want to give you Jesus. I want to give you God. And I want to give you tools. He's given you faith for today. Just giving you faith for today to make it to tomorrow. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you're grieving the whole world, the nation. I don't know if there's tragedies happening in the home. I don't know what God has behind the curtain. But have hope. Have hope. God's got you. Tell each other that. God's got you. God's got it under control. He sent us Jesus. Why would he, like, he still loves us because he is the compassionate and gracious God. He's abounding in love. He forgives sin. He forgives wickedness. Yet he does not hold off on the guilty. And guess what? He's poured that wrath onto his son for you and for me. We were the guilty ones. Jesus was not guilty, and he pours it on him. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you so much for Habakkuk. God, I thank you for Jesus. God, I do not deserve the life that I have, but God, I want to live for you. God, we thank you that you are in step with us. God, it might feel like the wickedness in the world and the wicked people are around us and they surround us. But Jesus, you are near. You've given us your spirit. You've given us your word. You've given us your church. You've given us community. And you've given us so much of yourself. And God, we want to live a big thank you to you. God, our lives, may they be a big thank you. Thank you in the good seasons. Thank you in the bad seasons. Thank you in the hard seasons. Thank you in this season. Thank you. God, we don't deserve your love. Thank you for loving us. Oh, righteous one, Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness that is stronger than my faithfulness. God, we pray for today, God, that you would meet us and give us hope and give us a future. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpchb.org.